All right. It feels so familiar. I'm thankful for that. And I really appreciate you guys praying for me. We're in the transition time right now in that this coming Friday, I will be retiring from South Merrimack Christian Academy after 7 years of being there. And so it's been a great time. I have fond memories of my time at West Bay and loved the people, the teachers, the students, the families, and I'm just very thankful for the opportunity to serve academically and educationally and in the children's lives that God has privileged me to be able to be part of. And I'm especially grateful to have my wife, Dave, here. It's been such a blessing. You know, we are very faithful to the church that we go to, and I'm glad that she was able to be here today. So I want to give her a round of applause for her being here today. I love coming to Calvary Chapel. I love you. I appreciate you. I appreciate your faithfulness and your commitment to the Lord. It's evidence in your eyes. It's evident in your singing. It's evident in your just your spirit, and I'm thankful for that. Today, I want to preach a message that I hope will be a blessing to you. It's entitled The Joy of Service, and so I think it's very appropriate. I don't know what the Festival of Hope is. Maybe there's opportunities to serve there. I'm not sure, but I know there are opportunities to serve here at Calvary Chapel. And so I'm going to encourage you. I'm going to challenge you to don't take the summer off from serving the Lord. I'm going to encourage you to stay focused. Maybe the tempo might be a little less, but you're going to keep on serving the Lord and honoring Him with your life. And so if you have your Bibles, please turn to John chapter 13. John chapter 13, and we're going to look at the first five verses to start off with. John chapter 13, verses 1 through 5. There in verse 1 it says, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel, and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded." Father, this morning I ask, God, that you would help us to be present this morning. We have lots of things on our minds, things that maybe happened last week or things that are going to happen this upcoming week. I pray that you would help us as we focus now on you. The worship music has been wonderful. It's prepared our hearts. And Father, now help us to dial in into your word and to be able to be to receive what you have for us. All of us are at different points in our spiritual walk with you. All of us are experiencing different issues and struggles. Some folks are struggling with illness, and some have loved ones who have passed. Lord, these things are heavy in our minds, and we just ask, God, that you would help us to be able to not just hear your word, but then to act upon it, to live it. And Father, we know that's the hardest part. And help us as we read these words and this passage, and we try to explain it, help us to get the message. And not just get the message, but Father, help us to do what it says. Thank you so much, Lord, for this time. I pray that you'd help us for the next few moments, Lord, that we would be active learners, active listeners, that we would be able to receive what you have for us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So some of you, maybe most of you, have been Christians for a while, been serving God for maybe years. Others, maybe not so long. But I do believe that in a Christian's life, there should be a transition from learning and growing to serving. I'm going to make the case this morning that we're not going to experience true happiness unless we're serving the Lord actively, where we're doing things for God, to people around us, primarily the saved folks around us, and also the unsaved as well. And so in life, obviously, we're busy. We're doing lots of things. Sometimes we meet ourselves coming and going. But I know that if you're human, you want to be honored. You know, all of us want to be honored, you know, for our work, for our words, for whatever. And it's a blessing when we do receive honoring, but that's a very small portion of our life. Most of our life is filled with work, working at home, working at your job, working. And so we want to wear that robe of honor, but God has a different garment for us. And I'm going to make the case this morning that's through that garment, which is either a towel or primarily an apron, the apron of a servant, that we will receive the greatest blessings as Christians. So the robe means someone serves me, but the apron means I am going to serve others. When the apron is on, I know I'm cleaning everything up for myself and others. You have a servant's mindset. It is God's goal for us to wear the apron and be a servant to others. Now, that takes humility. That requires someone that has a mindset, and we're going to look at Jesus, who's the supreme example for us, and see he had a servant's mindset, and we need to emulate that as well. So Jesus demonstrated this to us when he washed the disciples' feet. So we're going to have 2 points this morning. The first point is this: look at what Jesus did, and we read that in verses 1 through 5. We see the fact that Jesus got up and girded himself with that apron to serve meant that nobody else was doing it. The disciples ignored an obvious need. Now, I have to say, just you know, all my cards on the table, being totally transparent, I'm not a big fan of feet. And I don't know a whole lot of people are. Feet are workhorses. They get us from point A to point B, and they don't look that great in the process. I remember when I was in Afghanistan, I was there for 7 months, and it was brutal, not just the war, but it was brutal because of the temperatures, 120 degrees every day. And when you're at war, you've got to wear all this armor. You have body armor on, and so you've got that on. And it's I told my wife and anybody else who would listen, my constant companion was known as Misery. Every day, all day, for 7 months. But I remember the part of my body that took the most abuse were my feet. So you think about it, they're in the boots, they're like steel-toed, all that stuff, and hot. And when I got home, my feet, my poor toes, took a beating. And here I am now, 16 years later, and there's still a few of my toes that have not recovered from that experience. And every time I see those toes, I'm like, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry you went through that. You know, they're just beat up. They're, you know, they're just not, they don't look that great. And so so feet aren't, you know, they're not well respected generally, you know, because they're more, you know, service oriented. So I think about what Jesus is about to do. You think about wearing sandals, especially walking in sandals in dirt. What happens to feet that are walking in dirt in sandals? They get dirty. And it's not a joy to clean them unless you get in a shower. You know they're getting clean because you're not looking down there. The water's trickling down and whatnot. But they didn't have showers here at this time in history. And so it is not a great thing to wash feet. So in that day, it was a common practice for the slave, the lowest person in the house, to wash the feet of the people that came into the house. That was either people that were a little bit higher than they were or guests that were coming in. And so if the host did not have slaves or servants, the host would provide water and towels for the guests to wash their own feet. So in the case of Peter and John that night, apparently they made no arrangements for that to be taken care of. So every person was on their own to take care of their own feet. And no one stood up and said, I'll take that job, I'll do that, because nobody wanted to do that job. They were responsible to take care of their own feet, but they weren't doing it. So I'm sure they had reasons of why they didn't want to do it. I'm not a lowly servant. If I volunteer to wash the other's feet, I'll be expected to do it all the time. You know, in the military, there was a saying, the curse of competence. If you demonstrate you're competent in an area, stand by, you're going to be doing it all the time. They're going to expect you to do it all the time, which is not always a good thing. One of them may have had an irritation with one of the others and saying, I'm not going to wash their feet because, you know, I have aught against them. So it's amazing that to this day, the average person spends more energy getting out of work than actually working. Some people have made it an art form. where they're spending so much time trying to avoid work that they could have accomplished a job and got whatever accolades that they would have received by doing that work, but they don't want to do it. So listen to Philippians chapter 2, verses 20 and 21. For I have no one like-minded, this is Paul talking to the Philippian Christians, who will sincerely care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. So he's saying most people are selfish. Most people are not interested in helping other people. They just want to take care of themselves. So Jesus shocked the disciples with his lowly service. In fact, let's look in verse 8 of chapter 13. The first part is said, we know they were shocked because of Peter's response. He said, Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. Now, we could preach a whole sermon on just that statement alone, but the idea that the God of the universe would stoop down to wash Peter's feet was, Peter couldn't even think about that. He could not abide that. So Jesus dressed like a lowly servant. He rose from the supper. We saw that in verse 4. Normally, supper is a time for relaxation and fellowship, but to be a servant, we have to get up and do something. So most people are just going to stay in the relaxation mode. They're going to just keep on fellowship. And there's a place for that. There's a time for that. But at some point, somebody has to clean up the place. Someone needs to take care of those needs. And so Jesus did that. He rose from the supper, and he did something. He laid aside his garment. His outer garment would have been in the way when kneeling down to wash feet. He wanted to be able to fully apply himself to the job at hand. That tells me something about his work ethic. Sometimes we do work grumbling and griping the whole time, maybe under our breath, maybe sometimes not under our breath. And sometimes we do it, we want to get it over with so fast that we don't do a good job. And that doesn't honor the Lord. So we see here that Jesus took off his outer garment, his robe, to make sure there was nothing impeding him from being able to do an excellent job. He wanted to have that effort and to pay attention to the details. Listen, to become a servant does require us to lay something aside. So there is going to be a sacrifice that we make to serve. Sometimes it's time. Sometimes it's our own comfort. Sometimes it's our own desires or what we'd rather be doing. But we need to make sure that if there's something that's impeding our ability to effectively serve, that we lay that aside like Jesus did. We want to be effective. We want to get the job done. So he wrapped a towel around his waist. He assumed a servant's dress. If we know anything about people who are of royalty, they love to be served. You know, they want to look the part of royalty. That wasn't Jesus' mindset. He was a servant. He was dressed like a servant. They didn't know what Jesus was going to do at first, but when he rose from the table. But now they must have been shocked when they saw him dressed like a lowly servant. That would have been really tough for them, because you think about what they thought of Jesus. Jesus was the Messiah. Jesus was Lord of Lords, King of Kings. So for him to take on that role was going to be very difficult for them. He poured water into a basin. There is no doubt now what he was going to do. He has made all the preparations to meet the very practical need of washing the disciples' feet. While the disciples, at about the same time, while the disciples were disputing among themselves who was going to be the greatest, Jesus took on the look of a lowly servant. Think about that. They were arguing. Who's going to be first? Who's going to sit by Jesus' right hand? I will. We're all interested in having power and having opportunities to be adored and to be worshipped. But it's a different thing to volunteer to be a servant and to do the work, and sometimes the dirty work of others. Luke chapter 22, 24 says this, now there was also a dispute among them as to which of them should be considered the greatest, which is really hard to read. Jesus worked like a lowly servant. He began to wash the disciples' feet. It wasn't that he just did the preparation, made sure his attire was correct, make sure he had the water, the basin, but he actually did it. He went from disciple to disciple. He took off their sandals, and their feet were, I'm sure, pretty dirty, and he washed them. He made them clean. To be a servant requires the transition from talking about something to doing something. What is it that God wants you to do here at Calvary Chapel? I am suspecting that most of you are serving in some capacity here at the church. But what is not being done? What could you do to be able to be a blessing to the whole? So it's more than just talking about it, but we need to do something. It's more, our Christianity needs to be more than just coming to church and sitting here and being blessed, which is awesome, singing these songs and listening to the message. We really need to be doing something for others and for the Lord. Jesus saw the need. Everybody saw the need. Think about that for a moment. They all saw it. When they first walked in, like, okay, where's the guy that's supposed to wash my feet? You know, he's not here. You know, I'm not doing it. Maybe he'll do it, you know. So they all saw the need, but Jesus did something about it. There are needs all around us. We just have to have the eyes to see them. It's important. When Jesus washed their feet, he knew what was going to happen to him over the next 24 hours. So this is all context. You know, we know the culture, but this adds something to it. Within the next 24 hours, Jesus would be arrested, tried, beaten, and crucified. Jesus knew all of that. And here is this man, Jesus, who is taking on the form of a servant, and he's washing his servants, his disciples' feet. If you were going to die and you knew you were going to die within the next several hours, what would you focus on? Washing each other's feet? Probably not in the top 100 as far as choices. We would probably focus on our comfort and our concerns. What did Jesus focus on? Others. His focus was on serving others. Think about Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, taking on the role of the lowliest servant. He's the Alpha and Omega. He's the author and finisher of our faith. He is the anointed one. He is the bread of life. He's the door. He's the good shepherd. He's the light of the world. He's the Lord of lords. And here he is, stooped over, washing the disciples' feet, their dirty feet. What an example. So, number one, look at what Jesus did. Number two, obey what Jesus taught. Let's look in verse 12 of that same chapter in John. Verse 12, where he says in John chapter 13, verse 12, "So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments, and sat down again, he said to them," listen to this question, "do you know what I have done to you?" Wow, what a question. "You call me teacher and Lord, and you say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him." Verse 17, "If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." Listen, humble service is commanded. It's not an option. If we're Christians, if we're born again, we're on our way to heaven, then our job is to be humble, our job is to be servants. This must have been a striking rebuke to these disciples that very evening who had been disputing about which one of them would be the greatest. Jesus gave the disciples an example of the humble service he expected of them. We saw that in verse 15. He expects the same from us. It's not good enough for us to be comfortable. It's not good enough for us to have everything and just be kind of, you know, okay with life. God has saved us for a purpose, that is to spread the gospel, to bring honor to him, and to be a servant and blessing to the people around us. I love that he asked them if they understood what he had done. It's not likely that they did. They were still shocked that he was doing it. They couldn't get past that. Probably why he asked them, "If you understand, do you understand what I have done to you?" In no uncertain terms, He made sure they knew they were to become humble servants. And that's our job today, too. Nothing should be higher than us. I mean, we shouldn't be too good to do anything. We need to be servants. Listen to Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. He says, "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself." That's Paul talking to the Christians at Philippi. He's saying, hey, when you serve, don't serve to be seen. Don't do what you do so other people notice that and pat you on the back. If you do that, you have your reward now. But he is saying, do it as a servant. Have the lowliness of mind and esteem others better than yourself. Verse 4 says, "Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others." In other words, care about people. Jesus is sitting at that dinner that night, that supper, and he knew that there wasn't anybody. Peter and John had not made arrangements for the feet to be clean, and so he made a decision to make this a teachable moment. So he got up, not a big show, got up and did the work for these disciples. Jesus did not come to earth to be ministered to, but to minister, and it was now time for them to adopt this attitude. Why? Because within the next 24 hours, Jesus would be crucified. Praise the Lord, he would rise from the dead on the third day, but they needed to do what he was doing. And the example was wash their feet. I mean, you can't think of anything more lowly than that. Our world tells us to make ourselves the important one, to make sure in all circumstances that we look good in front of others and to exalt ourselves. But Jesus showed them by example to become a lowly servant. Matthew chapter 23, verse 12 says this, and whoever exalts himself will be humbled. Now think about that for a moment. If you have the mindset, say, look at me, I'm God's gift to the world, you know, I'm the best, I'm the highest, I'm the smartest, God will humble you. Amen. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled. But look at the second part. And he who humbles himself will be exalted. Let another man's lips praise you. You come into a room. The embarrassing thing is, you've never been here before. And if you go to the head of the table and sit down, you run the risk of getting kicked out of that chair. But if you come in and you sit on the lowest part of the seat and someone says, hey, no, you don't sit here, you sit over here. That's a different situation. We need to allow God to exalt us. Our attitude should be humbled. I like the story of the late Dave Thomas, who is the founder of Wendy's. You may be familiar with this. He was known for humble service within this multi-billion dollar empire. When asked what made him so successful, he replied, "My MBA." He wasn't referring to a graduate degree. He was referring to his mop and bucket attitude. He believed that no work was beneath him. He simply jumped in and got the job done. We need more people like that. Too many people are waiting for people to serve them than them to be the servants of others. So a humble service is commanded, or humble service is commanded, then humble service is rewarded. Let's look in verse 17. He says, "If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." So the sequence is important. Humility leads to happiness. The word blessed, if you put the word happy in there, that's a good translation for that, happy. If you're humble, it leads to happiness. You were designed and I was designed to serve, and you'll find your greatest fulfillment and joy in serving. Don't you feel good when you do something for other people and it was truly a ministry to them? It's a wonderful thing. Instead of waiting to be served, waiting to be taken care of, you jump up and you do it. And the joy that you'll bring to the person that may not have been able to do it, it's incalculable. Therefore, you're going to feel, hey, that was a good thing. I feel happy because of it. Reading these verses in John can challenge us and enlighten us, but it cannot bless us. Only obedience can bless us. Now, think about that for a moment. obedience. It's almost a bad word today. Be obedient. But when we obey, we are fulfilling how God designed us to work. If we're serving and we're submissive and we're obedient, then we're going to have joy in our lives. You will learn more about God and service, and you will become more like Him when you serve. There is no better blessing than that. And I can say from my own personal experience, year after year after year, I've been saved since I was 16 years of age. When I serve, that's when I'm at my most joyful state. What a blessing it can be. So, where are you this morning? You know, you're coming to Calvary Chapel, Green Meadow, faithfully. There are needs here at the church. You know, I'm not here all the time, so I don't know the full extent of the needs. But are you involved? Are you engaged? Are you serving? If you can and you have the strength to be able to do it, I would encourage you. Maybe there's something that needs to be done that nobody else can do. Maybe they don't have the talent or the skill or the whatever, or the willingness. What is it that you can do here at Calvary Chapel? Can you sing? Can you play an instrument? You know, this festival of hope that's coming, is there a part that you can play in that? Whatever it is, work in the nursery, work in Sunday school, whatever. You know, what can you do that can be a blessing to others, which will ultimately be a blessing to you? My encouragement to you is this: do it. You'll be glad you did. You might even say, why didn't I do this 20 years ago? Why didn't I do this 10 years ago? There's so many things in my life that I wish I had done earlier because they're so enjoyable and they're a blessing to me. I think they're a blessing to others. So what is it that you can do? Isn't it time for you to do what you can to be a blessing to this church? Father, I thank you so much for the opportunity to look just very briefly into your word. What an outstanding example Jesus is. Doing something that most people would say, not me, Lord, not me. But he was willing to do it. Father, give us the humility to be able to see the need and to do it. And I pray for this church, Lord. I especially pray for Pastor Chapman and his wife. Is there a way, Lord, help them when they come back to just continue to be a blessing? I know his heart and his passion. And Father, it's reflected in the congregation, Lord. I just see just humble people that love you, want to worship you, want to serve you. And Father, that's an awesome thing. So I just pray you'd continue to have your hand of blessing on this church as they go forward, especially over the summer when things kind of just kind of settle down a little bit. I pray that we would not take a vacation from serving you, that we would stay faithful to you. And Father, that we would see a need and fulfill that need if it's possible that we have that ability. Thank you so much for what you've done for us. Thank you for Jesus who makes all of this possible. Bless us now as we depart, Lord, that we would continue to honor and glorify you in all that we say and do. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.